Joining us now is Tony Arterman. Thank you for joining us, Tony.
Well, thanks for having me back, David. I was enjoying the show. No worries at all on the delay.
Sorry about that. Yeah, they're now openly talking about this. We've got a guy who is on the Federal Reserve Board in New York saying, I think we're probably going to have 500 banks fail this year. You've got the FDIC saying, I think it'll be at least 52. But then they assuage everybody's fears and say, don't worry, it's not going to be the big banks. It's going to be the small, medium-sized banks.
Well, that's right. I mean, it's the small and medium-sized banks. We saw that really spill over from FTX. And of course, they were able to plug that leak. Janet Yellen stepped in and of course, the Federal Reserve. And then when she was asked by Congress if she would step in and save the all banks, if all banks were had the ability to be saved by the Federal Reserve or the Treasury, she said no. Yeah. And she wasn't going to leave that on the table. So I think that's what you're seeing in small and medium-sized regional banks. Those are going to be in the chopping block first for the consolidation. The bigger banks are going to want to buy up those assets. We saw that in 2008 with TARP funds in 2009 and so on and so forth. So I think what we're seeing, David, is really the chessboard is being set up to bring in these bank failures, and the bigger banks are going to be poised to buy up all of them. And that's really, really, we've been talking about this for a couple of years now. That's the backbone of the central bank digital currency.
Yeah. Yeah. When you go back and you look at what kicked all this stuff off, you know, everybody talked about the removal of Glass-Steagall so that banks could get into speculative things, and they create all these derivatives and the real estate derivatives that, you know, and the mergers that happened to create the really big banks. And so all this stuff happened, but it was really the mergers that really kicked all this stuff off. And both the repeal of the Glass-Steagall Act and the mergers happened with Bill Clinton. And it only took about 10 years for stuff to blow up. But then the aftermath of that, we saw for several years. I remember Matt Drudge, when he was doing conservative news, he would talk about how many banks had failed every year. And it would be between 150 to 200 banks failing every year for several years in a row. After they had bailed out the big banks, they let these other banks twist in the wind and fail. And now we're seeing here now another decade later, they're getting ready to rinse and repeat. And as they're talking about it, this guy who has, first of all, he's on the Federal Reserve Board of New York, but he's also got a large commercial real estate organization there. And he says, I don't think this is going to be a systemic problem for real estate, he said. And he says, and for the large, systemically important, too big to fail banks. So they're going to protect these guys. He said, however, for the regional banks around the country, they have a significant allocation of their loans to commercial real estate, a lot of it to multifamily developers that are going to go have loans that are upside down. And of course, this is what we've been talking about for quite some time, and now it's coming to fruition. They're saying these banks are going to fail, and they're just fine with that because it fits their long-term plan. Again, this is 30 years now. They've been working on creating just a handful of banks, and then they're going to be their partners to centralize the central bank digital currency, I think.
Well, let's not forget Glass-Steagall was a remnant of the 1930s. Mm-hmm. That was a bill passed in the 1930s after the Great Depression, or during the height of the Great Depression. You have massive bank failures, and a lot of these regulations were used to keep from these other banks from consolidating and buying them up, and then making the problem worse. And that's what was in the 1990s. That was the repeal of Glass-Steagall, and so you had what ran up to the dot-com bust. And that we just see more and more consolidation. And let's not forget, too, these regional banks, smaller banks, are the ones that lend. Those are the banks that lend to real people, which are the backbone of the U.S. economy, small business, all of that. The non-essentials out there, those of us who were non-essential during the lockdowns. And so that's who they're going after. They're going to all the stress test and all the mistakes that have been made by the central bank and the debt. David, I just read earlier today, the U.S. debt increases $1 trillion now every 90 days.
Yes.
Okay, so all of that, the fiscal irresponsibility, the cancer, the financial cancer that they've unleashed on not only the United States, but the West in general, and the entire world, and that's all going to fall on the back of these small and regional banks, because that's all of the economic blowback, all the consequences of this unlimited money printing and everything they've done for the last many years, and especially in the last 4 years, that's who's going to feel the pain first. Mm-hmm. So I think what you're watching really is a plan.
Yeah.
To dump it in the laps of those who have the most leverage or the most exposed. Look at the cash positions of these banks. Remember after TARP, and this was unprecedented. Ben Bernanke came out, and that was 2011. If you look at the price for precious metals, you can go back and see that gold was reaching 2000 back in 2011. It was really close. It was a high 1900s, and then silver hit $50. Ben Bernanke came in and calmed everybody down and said, you don't have to go into precious metals. The Federal Reserve bailed out these banks. It's unprecedented. We won't do that again.
Yeah.
Well, what was the debt of the U.S. in 2010? It was $10 trillion, right? Yeah. So now we're at 35 trillion and climbing. Again, every 90 days, the U.S. Government adds $1 trillion to the debt balance. So this is all unsustainable. Yeah. I think they're just clearing the path for more consolidation by the multinationals. And this is ESG, right? This is those who are close to the central banking hub, the multinationals, the consortiums. And that is what's going to be, that's the protected class. But the bank balances of those who took part in the bailouts in 2008 and 2009, they just hoarded cash. They didn't lend that money out.
That's right. And they were able to, they said, we paid it all back. You paid it back with a zero interest. it's like you held it for a while. You made a lot of money off of it. And then you gave some of it back. You didn't have to pay any interest on it at all. Yeah. But what you're talking about, these small and medium sized banks, as you mentioned, they're the ones that are lending the individuals and small businesses the money. And that's the real concern here, because what they're going to do is they're going to freeze up the financial machinery. And that's one of the reasons why Nicely is looking at this and saying, what, if anything, can we do about this at the state level? Looked at what happened in North Dakota and keeping those small and medium-sized banks alive during the Great Depression and things like that. So that's why they're looking at things and saying, even at the state level, we got to get into gold because we don't want to be completely dependent on the fiat currency coming out of Washington. So the state needs to have some gold so the state can keep machinery going. They need to be able to backstop some of these banks, and we got to be able to keep this flowing. But these people are looking at throwing one monkey wrench into the machinery after the other to shut everything down, to lock everything up. That's really what's and what they're trying to do, I believe.
Well, you played that clip earlier of a man on the street and asking people about central bank digital currency, and those who even had some clue of it. Well, I'll vote my way out of it. I'll vote against it. That's not how you stand up to central bank digital currency, because it is a fait accompli. Yeah. They're going to bring it into existence. The question is, do you have another system outside of it?
That's right.
And that's why it's so important. These state and regional banks looking into bullion houses and how to set up gold and silver as legal tender, mm-hmm. Through the legislation. This is imperative. We have to do that. The parallel system is the way to stand up to central bank digital currency, because they're not going to be given a choice. This isn't going to be on a ballot. Remember, Jared Kushner was the one pushing central bank digital currency. Do you think Jared Kushner is no longer part of the Trump, going to not be a part of the Trump administration if he's selected? They're going to have this. And then Biden, Biden's pushing the central bank digital. These are the same masters.
Yes.
And central bank digital currency is just the future. You have to look to the future. And what we have to do is plan around it. And that's the parallel system, the state banks, things outside of the systems we talk about every week.
And of course, it'd be great if we have states that are going to do that. But again, that may not happen at the state level, but you can still prepare at the individual level. That's why I mentioned it. What is China doing? Well, they're getting gold. What do we have the forward-looking people at state government looking at? Well, let's get some gold for our state organization. Well, as an individual, you need to start looking ahead and how you're going to prepare for yourself. Because it may not happen at the state level. It may not happen at the state that you live in either. So, but you can still prepare as an individual for this stuff.
Well, the Chinese people certainly are. People in India are. Massive gold reserves being sent to India. China's keeping its gold, not a net exporter. And like I said, I think a couple of weeks ago, we talked about China, 60,000 gold mines. So they're ramping up their gold. And I think It's something interesting going on in the global economy. And David, it's crazy. We talked about gold and Bitcoin hitting their all-time high together last week. Mm-hmm. Bitcoin just surpassed silver in market cap yesterday.
Wow.
So it actually surpassed silver in market cap, I think 1.4 trillion.
So a lot of people are going to look at this and say, well, I need to get into Bitcoin. It's like, well, silver's on sale right now.
It's on absolute sale. So the headline on Kitco is silver surpassed by Bitcoin in market cap, but the gray metal has begun its long awaited move. And there's a lot of things going on because it's not just one thing. You're talking about a complete revaluation of currency. And as the dollar loses the world's reserve currency status, and you see all these reports coming out, inflation's worse than they thought. They try to paper over this as best they can. But the world is moving away from the dollar. So there's just this shrinking demand, which is shrinking value. Again, it's psychological, but people around the world are starting to dump dollars and they're going in some into other areas. But the dollar represents our markets. It represents the stock exchange. It represents all that fake and all that tied to that's political, everything around Wall Street. And so the dollar itself, King Dollar, represents that. And people are moving away. The Bitcoin ETFs, David, and I'm not a fan of the ETFs. I'm not pushing for that. When you've got Larry Fink from BlackRock appraising Bitcoin, I start questioning my own sanity or where my loyalties lie. But again, they're pushing that. $1 billion in inflows yesterday.
Wow.
Yesterday, $1 billion inflows in the ETFs into Bitcoin. All that money moving into there. Why is that? That's because the dollar is losing purchasing power, and that reflects all of the uncertainty in every market. So this is a complete revaluation of things. So when you say, well, is it going to be gold? Is it going to be Bitcoin? Is it silver? My answer is yes. It's all those things. It's mm-hmm. there's mm-hmm. people are looking for something that's not going to be unlimited, right? There's some checks to it. There's going to be some way to hedge against the loss of purchasing power and the loss of not only that, but the loss of value in these markets that are so tied to it. And yeah, they're going to cut rates. We know that they're going to do QE. They're signaling that. And the reason gold is moving and Bitcoin is moving is because they're talking about cutting interest rates on top of high inflation data. Mm-hmm. So these two things can't go together.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, well, they're political, so they have to do it. It doesn't really matter. I mean, they can manipulate the inflation stuff as much as they want. And even after they manipulate the inflation rate and bump it down so dramatically, it's still twice what their target rate is, but they're going to raise rates anyway. But it's still much higher than what they're saying it is. But, you know, when you look at this, you know, Powell is saying the same kind of stuff. He says, yeah, there's going to be a lot of disruption and there's going to be a lot of failures, but don't worry. It's just the small banks and regional banks. And so it's manageable is what he said. And we don't have to worry about the big banks because that's all they're worried about. But when you look at, and I think the trigger for this, and I think this is what a lot of people are seeing, which is why they're moving into Bitcoin and ETF or anything that is away from the dollar. They see this whole thing as just, you know, freezing up. And we've got to get something that is outside of this. We just had on Monday, on the 11th, this program that they had put together to help some of these banks that were in trouble. They just brought it to an abrupt end. And so interestingly enough, on the fourth anniversary of the World Health Organization declaring a global pandemic when there wasn't one, these people are pulling out the rug from that these banks have been relying on. It's one of the reasons why they know there's going to be 500 banks failing. Because they're ending that program. They're not worried about it, but it's going to create massive unrest. As you point out, people are looking for any kind of a haven outside of the dollar. So,
well, you know, I looked at some of that intel and we discussed last week there might be an issue on the 11th because that program was ending. And I woke up early on the 11th and I wired out every single invoice that I needed to pay. Everybody who paid me, I got to the trading floor. I got it off my balance sheets by 9 a.m. I wasn't taking any. I'm not going to be left holding the bag, especially for my customers. I've sent everything out to the trading floor, paid every single invoice and got it to zero because we don't know. These are very uncertain times. And so building something outside of the system, absolutely imperative. And of course, they're going to blame this on everyday you know, the small business, the regional banks, and they're going to say, well, we need more regulation. And the more regulation is just, we need to help these bigger banks. They're your friend. You know, they're not lending to people. And that's the thing. The way to control is more and more consolidation. They're going to continue to back these big banks and leave these smaller and regional banks out to dry.
Yes. Yeah, absolutely. As a matter of fact, there was one article I saw where they're talking about Javier Milei in Argentina said, okay, so he says he's tying it all to the dollar. He had said when he was running, he said, yeah, I understand the problem with the American Central Bank, the Federal Reserve, but he said our central bank is even worse. And this is just a pivot move, for temporary move or something like that. But they said, so what is everybody else going to do? What are Americans going to do when there's no other currency that we can go to prop it up that's a bigger thing? And he said that's why everybody's moving into the ETF, Bitcoin ETFs and Bitcoin and gold and silver and things like that, because that is, everybody is getting very afraid of this system that is teetering on collapse and is imminent, even according to the people who are running the system and pulling the levers. But, you know, it's also interesting, I think, to see how all of this is focusing people towards the CBDC. In New South Wales, where we had Gladys Berejiklian, one of the worst of the COVID tyrants, and her party, to remind everybody, her party present itself as a libertarian party. They call them liberals, but you know, that's, we use the term libertarian here because the liberals stole that word. But they were the liberal party. And so they were supposed to be about individual liberty, and they were the ones who were some of the worst tyrants. Now they're pushing to consolidate payments even more so in New South Wales into a central currency. And in Nigeria, where they've been struggling to impose this CBDC thing as one of the first countries, you and I have talked about that many times, they're now really leaning on Binance, and they're saying, you got to give us all the information on your top 100 customers, and we want you to turn over all the transactions from the last 6 months. What do you think is going to happen with this army of IRS agents that Biden and the Republicans want to send against us in the next couple of years?
Well, that they're building an army for a war.
That's right.
I mean, it's a war on the American people. It's a war on people all around the world from their governments. They want to control all financial transactions. They don't look at what BlackRock's doing, or these multinationals, or any of these Wall Street criminals. Don't look at what they're doing. We don't follow the money there. We only follow your $600 Venmo transactions. That's what that army of IRS. The income tax was never about a fair share or anything. It was built by the wealthy. I don't know. It's when you know history, it's like living in the Twilight Zone. Like, you realize as a progressive that the world's richest people, they made their foundations and they exempted themselves and they gave you the 16th Amendment, which is the income tax. And it's a way for the rich, the most powerful, to control you. So they use, and you know, it's funny, the same way they built these platforms for speech, David, like, you know, you've been kicked off YouTube. I've been kicked off YouTube. Mm-hmm. You know, you go to you, but you, it used to be websites or Facebook, you know, you go same thing, Facebook, Twitter, all that. It used to be websites, and they draw you into these things, and it's all free, and it looks like it's working really well, and you're connecting, and all of a sudden, no, you're curated, you know, like, like Tim Cook says, you know, we're a curator system for podcasts. And so they curate, but they're doing the same thing with crypto in a lot of ways. I love the crypto space, but you know, when it becomes more mainstream, when these websites start, you know, bowing down and we're going to be regulated and we're, you know, look at to the SEC and whatever regulatory agency, and they're not standing up for freedom, because this is a, you know, a token system is just meant to be peer to peer. It has nothing to do with, you know, with the government. It has nothing to do. Well, that's what they're being built to bring you in there, and then they're going to bring the hammer down if you don't comply. And so not everything in crypto is equal.
Yeah.
Right. Not everything is built on the same system or the same philosophy of the cypherpunks and the cryptography that was built to make things like Bitcoin. So again, it's not all the same ecosystem, but they're going to use that. And I think that, you know, the same thing with FTX and all that. It was a test balloon, mm-hmm, to see how people would react. They shut down the Silvergate Bank. There was nothing wrong with it. We've talked about that. There was nothing wrong with. So I used to wire Silvergate for my Bitcoin.
And they were completely solvent. And they
were completely stolen. There was nothing wrong with it, but they touched, it touched something that, and if you look at it, the same Sam Bankman Fried stuff, I mean, this looks so much like a setup. Like, how did that guy ever have the amount of funds that he supposedly have, you know, and it all funnels back to Ukraine and all these things, but they use that. I think that's the same thing with some of these larger crypto exchanges and something when they have political ties. Again, people get involved with it. It crashes. This is a problem in the crypto space right now. There's meme coins that are going up. I mean, they have Joe Biden, the coin. They have Trump coin is up 400% or some crazy thing, which is a meme coin. They have a coin based on Elizabeth Warren that I won't say what the name of it is on air, but that they have a whole bunch of these things, and they don't mean anything. But people are excited because of the Bitcoin ETFs. It appears, if you watch the financial networks, that everything's great and there's lots of liquidity. But watch out when they pull the plug, who gets blamed?
Yeah.
You know, especially if Bitcoin's driving up, and I'm a believer in Bitcoin, but if Bitcoin keeps driving up, if people get hurt, if there is a collapse in some way and all this inflow and outside, you know, these retirement funds, if this is a collapse of the total crypto ecosystem, which it could be in the short run, well, there's going to be a blame, and the blame will be on crypto. And how do we fix that? How do we fix all your money problems? Well, we give you a central bank digital currency. We need the adults in charge. You know, we need somebody with a regulatory mind to come in and fix all this, and we'll make up for it. That's what I'm afraid of. Whether it's a banking crisis or a crypto crisis or you know, economically, they'll fuse it together.
They've trained people with that. You know, it's like, remember when the Wu flu hit us and how we helped you out with the stimulus checks? Well, that's just what this is now, except it's going to be a little bit easier for us to get you this money. We can do it faster with a CBDC and all the rest. So just take the number. Yeah, right. They got everybody accustomed to all of that stuff. And you know, when we look at, like you said, you know, Bitcoin can crash regardless of whether or not that's real. Look at the .com bust, right? All of that stuff was, you know, the internet was a real thing. And just as we see now also with AI, you know, we've got AI, we've got Bitcoin. Those are things that people are going to be able to leverage. You know, the Bitcoin is going to be there, and people can make a lot of money from AI, whatever. But the bottom line is that was all there with .com. You know, you knew that the internet was coming, that it was going to be big, but it got out ahead of itself, turned into a bubble, and they used that to get people afraid of it and to all jump out of the market at the same time. And people,
well, that's what I'm afraid of.
Yeah, exactly.
Well, I'm afraid of it because it brings in regulation. It allows the those who have innovated and put their lives and fortunes on the line to bring something to market, who truly believed in something. They're going to be vulnerable, and they're going to be vulnerable to be bought up. That's what happened with the .com revolution and the internet. And again, it got consolidated into what we see now, which is kind of a hellscape, a dystopia that we're, you know, slowly the gears turning down speech, throttling anybody that can be seen that wants to just have their own opinion. Again, curating, like Tim Cook says, that's the same thing. I'm a firm believer in the crypto space. I've been in it since 2016. I'm also a gold and silver guy. I believe I'm precious metals first. But I think in technology and where we're headed, if you wanted to have any innovation at all, it's the energy is in crypto. It's the future. It's the future if. And that's there's a question mark hanging over all of this. And that's why I'm not a pessimist per se, but I am skeptical when there's so much going on and things that don't make sense. I call attention to it. I don't want to just be an outright cheerleader and say all of it's good. It's, you know, and there's that phrase in the crypto space. It's just number go up, you know, number go up. And that's what people look to. And I'm not sure that's really the purpose of it is not really number go up. The purpose of it is to build something outside of the corrupt fiat system.
Yeah.
And that was the goal from the beginning. It's the same thing that gold bugs have always talked about, or silver bugs. We don't want to be part of this. And, right. You know, if Richard Nixon hadn't taken us off the gold standard in 1971, would there be a Bitcoin? Would that really be a thing? Well, I mean, I wouldn't have a business.
Mm-hmm.
What would gold be doing? It would be $35 an ounce, and we'd have a completely different looking country. We'd have a different world. It's a thought experiment. I'd love to see what it would look like, you know, just for curiosity's sake. But none of these things would exist if we had any semblance of real money, and we do not.
I agree. Yeah, I talked to Aaron Day about his, you know, he ran briefly for president so he could try to bring attention to the CBDC issue. And he says, you know, get into gold coin, gold and silver and Bitcoin and other things like that. But he said, you know, with Bitcoin, he was an early adopter of it. He said, we turned that corner at one point. It was all set up to be what you were just talking about, an alternative system, an alternative payment system. And then he said it turned into a speculative asset. And, you know, the big banks and other people like that had a big part to play in that. Now they're doing that with steroids. I mean, when you look at this ETF thing, that's turning it into a speculative asset on steroids. And I don't know what happens with it in terms of some kind of an alternative currency. But going forward with all this, looking at the debt, you know, there's an article this week. This was from Reason Magazine. The White House says they're going to borrow $16 trillion over the next decade. Yeah, isn't that ridiculous? As you point out, they're going up every 90 days by $1 trillion. And you're talking about over the next decade. Are you serious? It's going to be way, way more than that. It's going to explode and implode long before that happens. But they really don't care. And just take a look at the IRS. And the fact that they're going up $1 trillion and the cumulative debt every 90 days, they're not anywhere close to bringing it to funding the government with taxes of any sort, including the income tax. It's simply there to keep us from being able to accumulate any wealth, to keep us in our place. That's why the income tax is there. It's not there to fund the government, as most people think. It's there to saw off the rungs of the ladder that you can't climb up.
It's the curse of 1913. You had to put the 16th Amendment in place, which is the income tax, completely outside of our heritage, our Constitution, the intent of our founding fathers. I mean, it's ridiculous. It doesn't make sense. The income tax is there just to punish you. It's just to make sure that you cannot compete with the world's richest people who really run everything. Yeah. You know, you look at Paul Warburg. They based the character Daddy Warbucks off in Little Orphan Annie, you know, and if you watch the movie or watch, you know, the play, you know, he calls up Franklin Roosevelt and tells him what to do. And that was, you know, people back in that time frame, they really knew things, didn't they? They really understood who these people were. And, you know, the Warburgs, his brother, Max Warburg, was the head of the central bank in Germany the same time we're supposed to be mortal enemies in World War One.
Yeah.
And they put these things in place. The income tax.
Max gave Vladimir Lenin $10 million in gold and put him on a steel train to start the Russian Revolution. Yeah,
that's exactly right. Same thing in this country. We had Leon Trotsky, was a newspaper reporter in New York, and they loaded him down with gold. And Woodrow Wilson, as a matter of fact, pushed his passport, make sure he got out of Canada. He was able to get through and get on to Russia to start the revolution. This is because he had a banker handler, you know, a Colonel Mandel House, who lived with him in the White House, kind of like Harry Hopkins did with Franklin Roosevelt. Yeah. So they built these. This is a system built by the world's most powerful, richest people to make sure that you're a debt slave. The 16th Amendment was there to make sure that you never are able to compete with them. Again, who has reached the pinnacles of anybody like a Warburg? In this country, I can't think of anybody that's, you know, these, who's our JP Morgan? Mm-hmm. It's not Elon Musk, you know, who is it? You know, that we haven't reached, there's been nobody that reached these heights of wealth and power. And like they did in that time frame, those who met at Jekyll Island, the Rockefellers, who's our Rockefeller? Nobody, you know, that we just have these puppets like Bill Gates and Elon Musk and others. Nobody reaches these types of wealth, and because that's what this income tax was designed to do. It's just slow you down, grind you down. The regulation, who understands it?
Yeah.
You know, what's taxable, what's not. They don't even, they'll admit they don't understand it. So we're all, you know, it's one of the reasons I have my, one of my sponsors in my show is Legal Shield. I've been with them for 20 plus years. They've got audit protection built into their membership. You get audited, you got a law firm on your side. Mm-hmm. But again, not This is coming with 87,000. And did the Republicans slow that down at all? I forgot, David. I know they're busy banning TikTok.
That's right.
Which, you know, which you can ban itself. TikTok, but not that, right?
That's right. In and of itself. I mean, that's a very dangerous thing. You know, we've had, this is a new thing for Congress to essentially go out and ban some application or website or business or whatever. Over and above the free speech issues that are there. What is on your purview in terms of, you know, last week we were talking about record highs, and we're still seeing some record highs, I guess, for Bitcoin. Things kept pushing up with gold, got close to 2,200, didn't it, before it fell back?
It did. And I think we might see a dip and some sell-off in both metals, you know, in the short run. Mm-hmm. But in the long run, that's what we're moving to, a revaluation of commodities. The BRICS right. nations, they're pushing for new pricing in commodities because they get that there's suppression in the precious metals markets because the dollar has been at war with gold since we went off the gold standard in 1971. I mean, it's a natural enemy. Gold was up 2,000% in the 70s, not because it went up in value, but because the dollar lost purchasing power. Again, when you reach the end of a currency, and I'm not sure we've ever seen anything quite like what we're watching right now. When we talk about, you know, every 90 days, the debt going up $1 trillion, it reminds me of something that that a speechwriter for Nixon, Herbert Stein, they call it Herbert Stein's law. He said, when something cannot go on forever, it will stop. Well, this will stop because it cannot go on forever. So I think we're going to see more and more. And again, when I go to the Bitcoin ETF, and I listen to a lot of podcasts, and those who are in the crypto space are really excited. I don't want to rain on your parade because I'm early adoption of Bitcoin for me in my life. I've been a fan. I just have a problem when Larry Fink of BlackRock comes out. There's only one or two possibilities. Either he's giving it its blessing to kill it, and he wants you to just take this thing, like, because that's where our mind naturally goes with these type of people. It's like, is it a poison pill? Do we want to wreck the whole thing so we can replace it with something else? Kind of a creative destruction, like we bless it, it blows up, and now we give you the central bank digital currency, because those who control the money supply, like Mayor Amschel Rothschild said, you know, I care not who sits on the British throne. The person who controls the British Empire is the person who controls the British money supply. I control the British money supply. That was in the 19th century. So you wonder, you know, with the BlackRock's ties to the Fed because of Trump, the reality is these big banks have ties to the Federal Reserve and help manage it and all the intricacies of it. So you wonder, why would they be for something that's outside of that? I have questions. There's either the possibility he's trying to blow it up, or he's a true believer. I don't know. I'm just color me skeptical. I'm going to be skeptical on that forever. And so I'm never going to truly believe that these people have seen the light and they believe in, you know, sound money, or even just having a finite based commodity system for payments. I don't really buy it because they're born out of fiat. Everything that's created these new markets and these mega banks, David, is all fiat fake currency. That's why they're, if you look at the consolidation by the wealthy since the 1970s, it's massive. And the working class in this country and the middle class is shrinking and declining in wealth. That's right. So there's something inherently wrong with. So I'm watching that very closely. I'm also seeing things like, you know, we talked about the market cap of silver being surpassed by Bitcoin. I'm not concerned about that at all, because when you see more and more of the outflows and things coming from people just around the world getting out of their own currencies and getting into commodities and getting into things like gold and silver, there's a place at the table for all commodities, you know, copper, land. In this whole era that we're in, or you could call it an era like you usually do, it's an era. There's all of this is fiat and it's fake and it's coming to an end. It's not going to be tomorrow. But I think you're going to see more and more consolidation in the commodities market. So I'm just preparing on my side of the business is just to have supply. That's one of the reasons I have two locations. I needed a supply chain. What's going to happen to my membership program when I call, like the first quarter of 2020 after March, if you called and locked in silver with me, it was 6 weeks out.
Wow.
And people couldn't believe it. I'm like, well, I can't help that. That's just all the resources that I have. Mm-hmm. Everywhere in wholesalers, it would be 4 to 6 weeks out for most products. Mm-hmm. So luckily we're not in that time frame anymore, and you can still get supply. It's not as great as it was before all of this happened, before 2019 or so. But that's the key is going to be supply. I know that the metal dealers that I respect that are in this business, that's their number one priority, is to make sure people have supply. So I've asked that question, you know, what happens to my Wolfpack members when I have delays? You know, will I even be able to continue that program? I hope so. Mm-hmm. We're working on that right now, because I do see it just takes a little push. I mean, we're just right on the edge of something really historic, and some of it can be good. Some of it can be bad. You know, we're watching the banking issues, and I tell you that story. Like, I woke up at early in the morning on the 11th. I had my wire set on both banks, and I emptied both bank accounts. And did I think there was going to be a banking crisis? I just have a question.
Yeah,
it's not that I know. I just have a question, and I'm not going to be hopefully not caught flat footed, because I have responsibilities to people who are my customers or my clients. And so that's what I'm looking towards right now, Dave. It's just having supply.
I like your you've got a lot of experience. You've got a lot of insight into all this, as people can hear. And when we go back and we look at it, as everybody says, history doesn't repeat, but it rhymes, of course, right? And it just seems to me like we saw this massive wealth destruction with real estate that so many of the middle class had in terms of wealth destruction because of this pump and dump that they did in the mid-2000s. And a large component of that allowed them to do it was this derivative instrument that they created. And so I look at this, and I've seen for the longest time people are saying, well, you know, the younger generations, they find it difficult to get into real estate and housing and you know, to get the capital to get started in that. A lot of them are building wealth on crypto, especially Bitcoin. Oh, okay, so we're going to do a derivative on Bitcoin. It's like, I don't know if that's what that's about or not, but it just, you know, I look at it, it's like, so they're going to try to, is this a big rope-a-dope thing to destroy people's wealth, you know, by bringing in this derivative stuff, because that just allows them to manipulate things to, you know, an amazing degree, as you and I have talked about for the longest time, the ETFs for gold and silver, allowing them to manipulate prices for that. Bringing in this massive rush into Bitcoin with these ETFs that really just, I don't know, my spidey senses are tingling.
Mine too.
Yeah, yeah.
And I think you feed the old system by doing it. I mean, you go look something R. Buckminster Fuller talked about. It said, don't fight the old system. You just give it energy. Just go build the new one. You know, and that's a lot of the innovators and the futurists and people that, you know, want to create a better tomorrow. That's the people that have followed R. Buckminster Fuller. You know, we'll have to talk about him sometime. He's an interesting figure. You know, he created the Buckyball, you know, yeah. The geodesic dome, yeah, and all that. He's a genius, but he talked a lot about finances, and he wrote a book right before he passed away in the '80s called Grunch of Giants. And it was, the gross universal cash heist. And he talked about how the richest people were stealing the wealth through the money supply, right? This guy was a genius. He was telling that, you know, just talking about concepts to try and explain it to the everyday person, because you can't see it. You can't see your slavery. It's built by these same people. So when you're absolutely right, my spidey sense is when you know history and you have some of these same people saying, well, Bitcoin's great, we're going to make an ETF out of it. And I say, well, that's interesting. This should be your, like, why would you feed it? And so I have questions, and, you know, again, not always right with our pessimism, but it is something to be cautious about.
Yeah.
And I would be absolutely, because this really tracks back to something that could be a controlled demolition. We know that they like to control the demolish things, don't they, David?
Yeah. That's that's what it looks like. They are hell bent to do everything in our society. It's always great talking to you, Tony. And as you're pointing out, you know, in terms of supply, that is going to really, I think you're right, it's going to be the key thing. It's good that you are on top of that. Any specials or anything like that you want to talk about at Wise Wolf?
Well, we got the 1776 promo over on wolfpack.gold, but go to davidknight.gold and click the link so we can you can support David through there. We always support David through Wise Wolf and Wolfpack, and 1776 promo for free silver. I have some announcements here in the next couple of weeks. We've got some great stuff going on at Wolfpack, and some new specials, and we added a new tier. It's called Zen Wolf. I don't think I've announced that over here. Zen Wolf is the highest level. I'm not making any more wolves that we reached. I thought Sage Wolf would be the last tier, which was 1,000 a month. And people started buying multiple Sages. And I'm like, well, okay, well, I'll go to the another tier up. And so what we do is we have Zen Wolf. It's treated a little bit differently. Sometimes if people can select, we've made it to where they can select all gold, all silver. It's not as, we have to create these other invoices in bulk. But Zen Wolf's interesting. If you're interested, if you got, you know, if you're looking at dollar cost average over the next 2 or 3 months or 6 months, you should check out Zen Wolf because you can go all the way up to 5,000. It doesn't mean you have to make it automatic. You can do one-time purchases, but that's a, you know, if you just want to have me go buy it for you, then that's one way to do it. And so we're just trying to make it easier for people over on Wolfpack. And you can do direct purchases all the way down to, you know, even if you want to buy somebody a gift and buy them a Wolf Cup at 35, you can do one time. You don't have to do a membership.
That's great. That's great. I like the original thinking, and you're doing everything that you can to try to help customers, make sure you got supply, make sure that you got a lot of different programs to feed different levels. That's something I've always liked about what you do with Wolfpack. It's always great to have you on, Tony. Thank you so much for coming on. And again, people can get to Wise Wolf Gold by going to davidknight.gold and let Tony know that I sent you. So thank you so much.
And I would say too, thank you, David. And my show will be live. We're going to be live on the Rockfin channel on America Unplugged on that channel here at 11 a.m. Central Time. So here in like, what is it, 41 minutes. We'll be live in freeworld.fm. So come check out the show. I had a lot of your listeners come over last time. So we'll be talking about these topics and more. Come see
us. Good. Good match. Good match. So right after this show, again, you can check out Tony's show. And thank you again, Tony, for your support. Been here for a long time and really do appreciate it. Thank you so much.
Thank you, David.
The David Knight Show is a critical thinking super spreader. If you've been exposed to logic by listening to the David Knight Show, please do your part and try not to spread it. Financial support or simply telling others about the show causes this dangerous information to spread farther. People have to trust me. I mean, trust the science. Wear your mask. Take your vaccine. Don't ask questions.
Using free speech to free minds. It's the David Knight Show.